Bible, there's about 33 different kind of birds mentioned. There's 41 different kinds of animals mentioned. And I was rather amused the other day. I told Jenny, besides everyone, I think probably everyone has a favorite TV show they like to watch. When I watch mine, other times I'll get tied in on CNN a bit. And another channel I like to watch is the Animal Planet. Because, you know, I'd like to know that. So I was watching one the other day and was talking about the greyhound dog. And the lady was explaining about the greyhound dog, and she made this statement. And like I say, I told Jenny, I said, I can't believe she said that. She said, you know, the greyhound dog is the only animal mentioned in the Bible. I thought, well, that's not true. We know about the lion and the sheep, et cetera, et cetera. You know, of all the animals that you or I might want as a pet, we talk about different animals having different characteristics. And read some of the strong as a ox, stubborn as a mule, you know, mean as a snake, roars like a lion, blind as a bat, yeah, sly as a fox, sounds fishy to me, you know, are we gone, cuddly as a bear. I don't know if a bear is cuddly or not, but we relate things in life with animals. And of all the pets that we might have in our lifetime, the pets that you might have in your lifetime, not one time have I seen anyone that has a pet of a buzzard. No one wants a pet buzzard. Why would not anyone want a pet buzzard? Because you see in our life today, buzzards signify, they gyrate, they just like glue, they go to dead things, to rotten things. One of my brother-in-laws years ago played semi-professional baseball. Now, he would each spring leave home, this up in down in Tennessee, and they go to Boise. Now, I thought at that time Boise was like a foreign country. It was so far away, particularly from Tennessee. But they would drive to Boise, and he would play baseball, a farm team with the Yankees. And he played all summer, and then they come home in the fall when season was over. And they was telling me one time as they came home down in Idaho or Utah somewhere, it was at night, and he came up over a hill, and there in the middle of the road was a buzzard feasting on roadkill, which is what buzzards do. And Neil said, my brother-in-law said, as he topped the hill, he saw the buzzard. And each one thought that the other one would yield, I guess, because the buzzard continued to eat and Neil continued to drive. And at the last moment, too late, Neil realized he was going to hit the buzzard, and the buzzard realized he was about to get hit, so the buzzard flies and Neil's moving, and he hits the windshield. In those days, windshields was in two pieces. The windshield in front of my brother-in-law came into the car, along with the dead buzzard, along with everything that buzzard had ate. I probably have your attention now. People don't want buzzards as a pet. Why? Because they gyrate to dead things. And the deader it is, and the more it smells, and the longer it's been dead, the more they like it. Animals are a strange creature. And with that said, I want to read you a tale. Three monkeys sat in a coconut tree, discussing things that they're said to be. Said one to the other, now listen, you two, there's a certain rumor that this can't be true. That man descended from the human race, while the very idea is a dire disgrace. No monkey ever deserted his wife or starved the babies or ruined the life. And no monkey ever built a fence around a coconut tree forcing you to steal from me. And no monkey would ever know a mother monk. You ever known a mother monk to leave their babies with others to bunk? And passing them around from one to the other until they scarcely knew who were their mother. And another thing you never see is a monkey taking a gun or a tree and taking a club or a knife and taking someone else's life. Yes, man descended the Onric curse, but he certainly didn't descend from us. Animals, in some respect, have a more sincerity and more love and more concern for their fellow man, for the fellow animals, than man does fellow man. I was relating to John the other day while we visited. As a young man, I had animals raised in the country on a farm, and I found out real quick, you don't mess with a pig who has little pigs. They will try to eat you. So with that said, I know that even there's an instinct about mothers that will protect their youth. Now look at John 3. We know John 3:16 a lot. What about John 3:19? John 3:19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. You know, darkness has always been associated with evil, with bad, with doing things that we should not do. And with that said, as we go through our life, we see that there are evil things that happen, and most of the time, when we check the news or read the paper about robberies, about things that have happened that are bad, most of the time it's done at night. It's done in evil things. Evil things are done at night. And with all this said, no one wants a pet buzzard because buzzards are associated with evil, with dirty, with filth, with nastiness. Do you know some buzzard people? I do. Unfortunately, I know some buzzard people. And with that said, as we look at this, and I was talking to a guy one time in Texas, and he had mentioned about buzzard, and it caught my attention, and the sermon derived from this, but Ted, this guy, was telling me that as a young man in West Texas, there's not a lot in West Texas, if you're familiar with it. About the only thing they grow there is rock. And Ted said, for entertainment, that the young boys, himself, would capture buzzards. I said, how do you capture a buzzard? He said, you set a buzzard trap. Well, that makes sense. I said, what do you bait it with? He said, the most rotten, stinking, dead bait you can find. He said, the best way, and I know this sounds cruel again, but the best way for you to trap a buzzard is to get like roadkill and leave it there in the trap until it is so foul and bad. But as we understand, people don't have pet buzzards. But if they did, would they take them for a walk? Would they do things with them that you and I would normally do with some kind of pet? But Ted said that they would take these buzzards once they trap them and take a piece of, some of you going to not have any idea what I'm talking about here, take a piece of baling wire and tie it to the leg of the buzzard, a piece of wire about 4 or 5 foot long. Tie it to the buzzard's leg, put a piece of rag on it, dip it in kerosene and set it on fire and turn it loose at night. And streaking across the sky is a buzzard with a fire tied to its leg. That could have been where the first report of flying saucers ever came from. But Ted, this is what they did for entertainment. So buzzards, to some degree, have some kind of a good, I use that term for them. And one thing I want us to look at today as we think about buzzards, and think about the evil and things that happens in their life. Buzzards look on dead things or try to find rotten things. And I'm persuaded, as I said, I know some buzzard people. And unfortunately, there's some buzzard people in the church today. They wait until things are at the height of trouble. And then they begin to stir this. I know some of these. They look under rocks. They try to find something wrong with any and every system there is. They try to find something that's malfunctioning. And then they strive on that. Proverbs 18:24. A man that makes friends must show himself friendly. A man that makes friends must show himself friendly. If we look at this aspect of life. I cannot and you cannot be a buzzard complex person and also be a friend at the same time. It can't and will not happen. It's impossible. And just like a dog will wag its tail instead of its tongue, that's why everyone gets along with a dog, and a dog is man's, quote, best friend. He doesn't wag his tongue. And as we talk about this, we talk about personality of people. Some people repel friends. Some people smother friends. Some people just don't want friends. But have you seen and become acquainted or know someone that as they walk in the room, people just like a magnet, they go to them? They have the personality that you want to be around. But by the same token, you run across people that they walk in the room and you turn and walk the other way because you don't want anything to do with them because you know what they are. And we get different concepts and different ideas of what buzzards are and how they look. And they're just there waiting for something to die. And if you're driving down the road or you're out in the country and you see a buzzard circling in the sky, and then all of a sudden you see two, and all of a sudden they're getting lower and lower, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? There's something dead over there. And they're waiting for it, or is something injured over there. And they're waiting for it to die so they can pounce on it. And we get concepts of buzzards. And look at this. Think Tim drew this for us. If you go in a pet store and you're going to buy a pet, you might want a dog, you might want a fish, but I don't think you're going to go in a pet store looking for a buzzard. And people in the world today have a buzzard complex, I'm telling us, because we see and know people who look for the dirty stuff, the nasty stuff, the bad stuff. And that should not be. We should be like this. Like I said, if you're going to take your pet for a walk, can you visualize walking a buzzard down the street? Some people will walk the dog. Some people will walk even their cats. I've seen people with a leash on cats. Cat didn't like it. But we won't take a buzzard for a walk. What would you think? What do you think about somebody out walking his buzzard down the street? He's touched in the head. He's got a problem. Because we don't want anything to do with a buzzard because of what they represent. And yet we folks should not want to have anything to do with buzzard people because of what they represent. Proverbs 20:19. And we talked about this a little bit in class this morning. Gossip. A person with a buzzard complex will gossip. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Now, this is getting into, as we joked this morning about it, getting into meddling right here. Don't associate with a gossip. I could ask, do you know someone who gossips? And I already know the answer to that. Do you associate with them? This is pretty stout here. And this wise man who wrote Proverbs as a rule says, don't associate with one who gossips. And yet there are some people in a church, unfortunately, that when they come in, you know they have the latest gossip. Most of the time, this latest gossip comes by someone who's been on the telephone. And this information is relayed and relayed and relayed and relayed. And by the time it gets to the end of the line, it's gotten worse than it was when it started. And we are not, according to our scripture, are not to have anything to do with someone who gossips. What do you want in a friend? If I asked you to write four or five things down that you want in a friend, what would you write down? Do you want someone who's trustworthy? Someone who's loyal? Someone that you can tell your utmost secret to? Of course we do. Would you willfully select someone as a friend who you know will go immediately and tell the world what you've told him in secret? You know those type of people. And you and I are very careful what we say around them. Because we know, have you heard the expression? I'm sure I'm going to tell you this, but don't you dare tell anyone. And then it comes to the next person, I've got to tell you this. Why do we do that? Because we're trying to impress someone that we know something that they don't know. So we tell it, and we've had it for long enough that it isn't juicy anymore, so we add to it just a little, make it a little more inviting. But don't you dare tell somebody. Don't you pass this along, suspecting that it probably will be. And if it is, don't you dare say that I told you, because I wasn't supposed to tell you anyway. That's not what we want in a friend. What we want in a friend is someone who's loyal, that will stick by us. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend will always stick by us. A friend is someone that will come and help us and sit by us when we're troubled. A friend is fill in the blank. You know what a true blue friend really is. How many do you have? How many true blue friends do you have in your life today? Do you have true blue relationships with someone who gossips? Or do you have a really good relationship with someone who will stick by you when things are rough and tough? Do you have a true relationship with someone who has a buzzard complex? Do you want a relationship with someone who has a buzzard complex? I hope not. I hope that you want a relationship. John 3:16, we know that verse. God so loved us that he gave Jesus. Jesus, as we well know, did not have a buzzard complex. We know of some of his apostles, they was ready to jump on each other, weren't they? They was ready to say, I'm better than he is. Tell me, John, who is the one that is the favorite of Jesus? Who is the most important? Who will have the best seat in the house when that day comes? They're ready to jump on each other. We as a church, we as a Christian, need not and should not have a buzzard complex. No one wants a pet buzzard, and no one, and trust me, no one wants a person as a friend who has a buzzard complex. We understand that we are going to have trouble in our life. We understand we're going to sin. We understand we're going to have temptations. We understand we're going to have problems. But that does not authorize us or justify us in becoming a person of a buzzard complex. So today, as we conclude this, I want to share with you something that you had said that you wanted to see. When I did the survey and I asked you to turn in so that we could compile what we could look at in what direction, even as I got some sheets back today, putting them together and looking at the priorities of what you wanted to do, I came across this. One of the priorities is that the number one priority is to have some kind of a workshop so that we could learn how to teach others about Christ. That's what the most of you put down as number one priority. To have someone somehow train us and teach us how to have the complex or the thoughts to teach others about Jesus. And that should be and is our priority in life as a Christian, isn't it? Definitely should be. And fortunately, that's what most of you said you wanted as number one priority, is to have some kind of a training class or some kind of a period of time where we can learn and incorporate that with. How many of you feel comfortable going to someone's house that you've never been before, knock on the door, say, "Hi, may I talk to you about Jesus?" You figure you're going to get the door slammed in your face. And it's very possible. But there's different approaches we can take, and we need to learn what they are. Then we need to practice what they are, and then go do it. Secondly, what people have said they want in a priority is to advertise. Whatever it takes, newspapers, radio, television, think big, folks. My father, your father, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's no reason we need to think small. We need to advertise big. And in advertising, if we are learning, it's synonymous with each other. If we are learning how to teach others about Jesus, and then we advertise, they just go hand in hand with each other. And oddly enough, thirdly, said you wanted to have monthly congregational meetings. How and why is that important? Obviously, evidently, it's important because you, the majority of you, feel that it's important enough that we be together, that we discuss this stuff and decide what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and when we're going to do it. So again, oddly enough, I don't say it's oddly, God's hand's working, all of these go hand in hand with each other. To have a monthly meeting with this church family, to discuss ways and means, and then to have this. And in this regard, the first thing that you have said you want to look at is learn how to make contact with people and to tell them about Jesus. And isn't that amazing when Jesus said what? Go in all the world and preach the gospel. We have an opportunity to do that. So with that said today, you have an opportunity. Evaluate your own life. See where you stand. Where do you stand? Are you a person with a buzzard complex? Are you a person that no one wants to be around? Are you a person that looks at the rotten side of life, at the stinky stuff? Or are you a person that is doing your best to live the Christian life and do what's right and do the Christian thing in your life? You have, we all have an opportunity right now. If you need some prayers, you want to become a Christian, you have an opportunity right now. We're going to sing a song. And as been announced, of the verses that we will sing, please evaluate your life. Decide for yourself where you stand with Jesus. And if you're not ready right now to go to that judgment bar, if you're not ready right now to stand before God, would you get ready? Would you not make yourself ready? You have an opportunity. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor. I, Jesus, will give you rest." You need to respond to Jesus. Do it right now. Let's stand together and sing.